'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to read two verses of Scripture from the Proverbs. I've entitled this message, Love Covereth All Sin. The first passage is found in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. The next verse of Scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, or as my marginal reading says, procureth love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Love covers all sins. My sin and my sins are a present reality to me, a great source of grief to me. The Lord said, blessed are they that mourn, and he's talking about mourning over sin, and my sin causes me to mourn. And I'm not talking about the sins of my past. I'm not talking about the sins of my youth. I'm talking about my present sin. And this is a scriptural way of thinking. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Not whom I was the chief, not that's the way I used to be, but I'm better now. But in his own mind, he saw himself present tense as the very chief of sinners. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he said, O wretched man that I am, not that I was, but that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I can't look at that verse and say, well, that's the way I used to be, but I'm not that way now. I feel the same way, without strength and ungodly. But the only hope that I have that I'll be saved is that Christ died for those kind of people, those kind of people who are without strength and ungodly. When David said, My sins are ever before me, and that's the man after God's own heart speaking. You know, somebody says, I've never heard a preacher talk about his sins like that. Well, if he's not talking about his sins like that, he's not being honest. David said, My sins are ever before me. And David, mine are too. The sins of my nature, the sin of my nature, the sinfulness of my deeds, my sins of omission, not doing what I know I should do, my sins of commission, doing what I know I shouldn't do, my secret sins, my daily sins, my oft-repeated sins, my hypocritical sins that I judge others for while I'm doing the same thing, my sin. And let me tell you something I want about my sin and my sins. I want my sin covered so that you don't see them. You know, people are very adept at hiding their sins. Well, I want my sins covered. Covered so that you don't see them. But most especially, I want my sins covered so that God doesn't see them. And when he covers sin, he makes sin to where it is no more, and it is not seen. Now, do you find that attractive? This thing of having your sins covered so that God does not see your sin. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20, we read these words, and this is the promise to every believer. In those days, in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. Now, I've read a whole lot about the iniquity of Israel, a wicked bunch of people, the children of Israel, how idolatrous, how fleshly, how sinful, how unbelieving. But yet he says, in those days, in that time, saith the Lord, that the iniquity of Israel, that's talking about the true Israel. The true Israel is every believer, the church of God. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. When God looks for my sin, there shall be none. Now that's how he covers. When he covers, there shall be none. And we're going to consider in a few moments how that is. How God covers, and there shall be none. Now, I'm so thankful for these scriptures that I just read from Proverbs chapter 10. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Not most sins, but all sins. And he that covereth the transgression, Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression procureth love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, if I cover your transgression, you'll love me for it. If you cover my transgression, I'll love you for it. Do you want to love somebody? Cover their transgressions. Don't bring them up. Don't expose them, but cover them. Do you want somebody to love you? Then you cover their transgressions. Do you want to be loved by others? Cover their transgressions. But most especially, this is talking about God covering transgressions. Now, if I love you, I'm not going to try to expose your sins to other people. I know that's what religion does. They have church discipline committees, try to bring down people before the front of the church to shame them because of their sins and expose their sins and bring them under discipline. That's pure foolishness. That's not what the Scripture teaches. That's just an absence of love. That's an exercise of self-righteousness. If that's what I'm participating in, I'm participating in something that God despises. This thing of trying to expose people and try to bring them to shame and trying to make myself look better at their expense is what that is. If you want somebody to hate you, treat them like that. If you judge somebody and expose their sin, they're going to despise you, and you ought to be despised. But don't you want your sin to be covered by people? Not exposed, but covered. He that covereth the transgression procureth love. Hatred, the opposite of love, is always stirring something up, strife and discord. Instead of covering sin, he repeats it to others. Now, I love what Peter said. Peter said, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If I love you, I want your sins covered. I don't want them exposed. I want them covered. And Paul tells us that charity keeps no records of wrongs, and covers in silence all things. Now, love covers all sins. And this is specifically speaking of the love of God toward his people. Because of his love, he covers all sins. Psalm 85:2 says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Now, let's speak for a moment about the love of God for His people. Now, most people look at the love of God as kind of generic. He loves all men the same. They hear scriptures like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And I love that verse of scripture, but that verse of scripture does not say that love is what God has for all men without exception. God loves all men the same, because you can't read the scriptures and come up that with that conclusion, because the scripture says He hated Esau, Romans 9:11. And Esau deserved his hatred. Psalm 5:5 says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Now, that's a big demographic. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. God's love is not for all men the same. You see, if it is for all men the same, and some of those people He loves end up being damned and not being saved, what good did His love do them? That would make His love meaningless. So when a preacher talks about the love of God being for all men the same, and it's offered to you, and it's up to you to accept it and receive it and so on, that man doesn't know anything about the love of God. You see, the love of God is always saving love. Everybody He loves, He saves. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, God's love is in Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you who God loves. God loves Christ. Oh, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. God loves those who are in Christ. Not everybody's in Christ, but everybody who is in Christ, every believer, God loves. God loves the elect. He says concerning them, "Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God loves all who believe. Here's my favorite. God loves sinners. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves sinners. God loves His people. Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." He says to every one of them, "I've loved you with an everlasting love, a love that had no beginning." That blows my mind. I don't understand it. But God's love is eternal. It never had a beginning. God loves His people. And if you're asking yourself, am I one of His people? Are you a sinner? If you're a real sinner, you're one of His people, because God loves all sinners. Problem is, most people don't really believe they're sinners. Oh, they make mistakes. They do wrong things from time to time. Maybe they make many mistakes, but they don't really believe themselves as being nothing but sin. They have something to recommend them. Well, you disqualify yourself if that's the case. God's love is for sinners. Love, everybody that God loves, He covers all their sins. He loves us, but we love Him because He first loved us. That's why we love Him, because He first loved us. Now, how is it? Here's my next question. And God's love is for His people, and His love covers all their sins. Not most of them, not some of them, but all their sins. When I stand before God in judgment, I'll not have any sin to give an account for. I'll stand before God perfect and complete and righteous and without sin. How is that? My sins deserve to be punished. They really do. I stand before you really believing I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve. My sins deserve hell. And God is the judge of the earth. And as the judge of the earth, like Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" He must punish sin and be just or he would cease to be God. If he failed to punish sin, he would fail to be just. He would fail to be holy. He would fail to be true. Now, what if someone murdered, brutally murdered your child? Oh, you would want justice to be done with that person. Excuse me. Now, what if that murderer of your child was apprehended and brought before the judge, and the judge says, I'm a loving judge. I'm going to forgive you of murdering that person's child if you'll just accept my forgiveness. What would you say of a judge like that? Why, he would be an unjust judge. You couldn't tolerate such action in a judge because he would be wrong. That sin must be punished. You can't just up and arbitrarily forgive that sin and say, I'm a loving judge, I'm going to let it go. It does not work like that. Now, how is it that God covers sins and still is just? That's the question of the ages, isn't it? How can God be just and still cover sins that deserve his judgment and condemnation? Well, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love. Now, remember, we're talking about God's love, that love that covers all sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, when we talk about love, we're not going to talk about our love. Now, I do love God. I love Christ. I love his people, but not near as much as I should, not with the strength I should, not with the earnestness and passion I should. I love him, but I'm not proud of my love. I'm ashamed of my love. I don't love him the way I ought to. So when I'm going to talk about love, I'm not going to talk about my love to him. You know, people are described, he really loved the Lord. But you know, that's not really the way John described himself. He didn't call himself the disciple that loved Jesus, but the disciple that Jesus loved. He was aware that there was defections in his love and problems, and he wanted to think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Now herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Now, the us is the same us as if God be for us, who can be against us? The us is those he foreknew, whom he did foreknow, love beforehand. Them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now what shall we say to these things, if God be for us? Those he foreknew, those he predestinated, those he called, those he justified, those he glorified. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. The us is every believer. The us is all of the elect of God. The us is everybody for whom Christ died. The us is every sinner. Now I love to think about this. Before time began, Christ stood as my surety, and he loved me. He knew me before I ever knew him. When he came to this earth and became flesh, the God-man was manifested in the flesh, he did so because he loved me. When he kept the law, he did it for me because he loved me. And this is true of all of God's people. This is not just some special privilege that I have that all of God's children don't have. They all have this. When he died on Calvary's tree, he did so because he loved me. He was going to put away my sins. When he was raised from the dead for my justification, he loved me. right now as he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, he loves me. When he comes again, he's coming for me so that I can be with him and behold his glory eternally. Oh, the love of God for his people. Love covers the transgression. And the reason for his love is his love. Not because of any loveliness in me, not because of any loveliness in you, but because God is love. God must love because God is love, and he doesn't have to find a reason in you to love you. You know, preachers talk about unconditional love. God loves you unconditionally. You know, that's really not true. He loves us as we're in Christ. You see, it's impossible to love someone unconditionally. God doesn't love anyone unconditionally. If you're in Christ, you actually deserve God's love because Christ deserves God's love. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Does Christ deserve the love of God? Yes. If I'm in him, so do I. That's the way his love works. The only reason for the Lord's love is found in himself. And herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now somebody says, what in the world does that mean? What's that word mean, propitiation? The word propitiation means a sin-removing sacrifice. A sin-removing sacrifice. Now would you listen to me very carefully? Because my sin has been removed by the sacrifice, God has no reason to be angry with me. He sees me as perfect without sin because my sin has truly been removed. Well, where did it go if it was removed from you? My sin became his sin. He never committed that sin, but it truly became his sin. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My sin became his sin so that he became guilty of that sin. And just as truly as my sin became his sin, so that he became guilty of it. He owned it as his own. And the reason God killed him was because he was guilty. He was guilty. My sin became his sin. He actually became guilty of that sin and took on the judgment of God as my substitute. And just as truly as my sin became his sin, his righteousness becomes my personal righteousness. And my sin became his sin without him sinning. Well, his righteousness became my righteousness without me doing anything to make it my righteousness. It's what God did in Christ. Now, when he became, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the sin-removing sacrifice, and that's exactly what he did. When he cried, "It is finished," my sin was removed. It was made not to be. And now, as David said in Psalm 32:1, blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, the reason God doesn't impute iniquity to me is because there's nothing to impute. Christ took it away. You know, I was talking about my sins that are ever before me. They're not before God. They're put away. And I stand before God holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, when God covers sin, it's not like me trying to cover my sin. Me trying to cover my sin is a cover-up. It's a cover-up. And you know, most people, as I said earlier, are adept at covering their sins. They can hide them very well. And it's nothing but a cover-up. But when God covers my sins, he makes it to where they are no more. They're gone. There's nothing that can come back up in the future to expose me and haunt me. They are gone. And he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. He procureth love. The fact that the Lord has covered my transgressions makes me love him. Why did he do it for me? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how I love him for covering my transgressions. But he that repeateth the matter. You know who I thought of? That passage of Scripture in Revelation 12:10 where Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses to God all the things that they've done. Here's what this person who claims to be yours did. They did this, 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 and this. And all those accusations no doubt would be true. How many times, though, have you had somebody repeat something about you that was true, but oh, it caused such pain that it was exposed, but it was a lack of love on that person's part that did that, that repeated the matter concerning you. You wouldn't say it's not true, but oh, you'd a whole lot rather him cover it, wouldn't you? Well, Satan repeats these matters before God, and you know what the answer to him is? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemned? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, I want God to cover my transgressions. So you don't see them? Yes, but more importantly, so that he doesn't see them. And the only way he can't see them is not for him to pretend that they're not there, but for them to not be there. And that's what Christ accomplished by his propitiatory sacrifice. The removal of the sin itself. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and he put them away. I want God to cover my transgressions, and I sure want to be someone who covers others' transgressions. The example I thought of was after Noah got off the ark, he planted a vineyard, and he got drunk. Somebody would say, could a Christian do something like that? Why would you ask such a silly question? A Christian could commit any sin. And his son Shem came in and saw his father's nakedness, and he went and told his brothers about it. But his brothers, after they heard that, they came in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. I'd whole lot rather be somebody who covers nakedness than repeats it, because I want to be someone who is covered. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church, write or email, send you a copy. This is Todd Knopper praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you.